Our sixth word comes from John 19, verses 29 and 30. A bowl was there, full of cheap wine and mixed vinegar. So a sponge was soaked in it, put on hyssop, and lifted up to his lips. When Jesus had received the wine, he said, "It is finished." Let us pray. Father, thank you for this time that all bunch of us Nazarenes can come together and non-Nazarenes come together, showing different facets of who you are. Please help us remember what is said. Amen. So you know the context. You know the setting. Around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, dark, long period, an innocent man is nailed to the cross. After accepting the wine solution, he utters 3 words. "It is finished." In a narrative that is that grand of scale, this is where the finale would be. Right here, Jesus has written the perfect last 3 words of his script. The camera would pan out, the lights would fade, the credits would roll. But this is not where it ends. And no, I'm not referring to Jesus' resurrection. Today is still Black Friday. We can wait 2 more days. This is not where it ends. And in fact, as you know from your program notes, John Mark is going to come up and share the seventh word according to Luke, because there still is one more final word. "It is finished" is not where it ends. Jesus' bold utterance that "it is finished" or "it is complete" is not a statement of terminology, but a statement of completion, a small but important difference. As many of us know, a big role of Jesus was to become the grand sacrifice for our sins. After dying for 6 hours on the cross, Jesus says, "It is finished," or maybe more clearly, "It is paid in full," because that part of his role is complete. He had absorbed humanity's sin. God incarnate has intervened. Our debt is paid, not just in present tense, 2,000 years ago, not just in past tense, reaching back to Adam, not just what is to come beyond us, but all-encompassing. "It is finished." Powerful words, yet the credits still are not rolling. This is not where it ends. So, now what? While Jesus says his sixth word on the cross, I'd like to believe that it is not bound by time. Just as a sacrifice is an act of reaching to both temporal ends, past and future, I'd like to think that Jesus' words are beholden to an audience of the same, past, present, and future. With the knowledge that we are freed from the bondages of our own machinations and the nooses of our ancestors, now what? What do we do now? Are we to live a life beholden to God? Are we to rest back into the past natures of our sins? Is it even possible to escape the narratives of our past? How do we go about this? Good Friday does not end on the sixth word. Perhaps the answer we seek rests in the seventh.